Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's going in the National Football League right now, and I think Clint is highly intelligent. He's extremely hard worker. I think we've put together an outstanding staff with a little bit of a mixture of some older veteran coaches that have been there, done that, with some younger, progressive mindset type of guys, and I think it's going to be a great mixture for our organization.
Yeah, before we move forward to what we want to talk about.
Let me pause it right there. Dennis Allen said that, and his best buddy is Sean Pace. his offense, Kubiak style of Gary Kubiak and Kyle Shanahan. Well, you know, you got Mike Shanahan, you got Gary Kubiak, that connection. And now you got Kyle Shanahan, the son of Mike Shanahan, and Clint Kubiak, the son of Gary Kubiak. All these guys, these former Denver guys, working around the league. And that system has grown to success. The 49ers run it to perfection. They have, and it also has other people operating the same system. You look at what Sean Payton, the Saints had great success with the Sean Payton system for 20 years. Now, it's getting sold a bill of goods now because it was misused. With most systems, it takes you can't run them with milquetoast leadership. All systems deserve accountability. Like if you have a good system that you're operating for, and it was a time proven system that the Saints have had that they use. The Sean Payton system works when you run it correctly. So to say that this is the best system that gives us the best opportunity to win, you know. I mean, you pick a guy that you pick a guy that's a leader that holds people accountable, you would have success with that system. That wasn't Pete Carmichael. I mean, maybe Pete Carmichael as a assistant to help that guy with the system of somebody that has some familiarity with it, like, oh, Sean Payton's system just doesn't work anymore. That's why we threw it out. No, that's not it at all. You ran it wrong. You misused it. You didn't run it with some oomph and some accountability. You had a milquetoast guy in there who didn't hold anybody accountable to anything, and that's why it failed. When we were asking questions about why the quarterback looks like this, why he looks like that, why the line on, and just you had nothing but excuses. There was no accountability there. But Clint Kubiak comes here, and I think he'll get a lot of room here in terms of what Dennis Allen, because one thing you can call about Dennis Allen, he's a backstabber, he's a weasel, but at the end of the day, he's not a meddler. He won't meddle. He'll allow you to do what you got to do on that line, and if you fail, then that's your fault. Now, he will spin narratives, and him and Mickey Loomis will spin the narratives to protect you, and they will even bring out dumbass stats. They would lie. They would misdirect. Stuff like they did over the last couple of years to hide an ineptitude and mismanagement of what they was doing with this team. They'll come out and they'll protect you. Why you tear up everything? That's what I've said that all the time. But in terms of accountability, I actually like Clint Kubiak because he is a guy that he grew up in that system, man. I mean, that's like I talked about it before. It's not something you was taught. Like, I just work with this guy. That's that man's father. And that's been a system that he's been knowing. This guy was brung up in this stuff. It's a whole nother world when you brung up in this stuff. You know it like you know the back of your hand. You got inside game on it. Like as a guy that's teaching his son the game, he going to give him all the game. He ain't going to hold nothing back. He going to tell him all the truths. He going to show him all the ins and outs. And plus he's had all these different stops that he had along the way, where he knows what guys he needs to have with him to make it work. So he has a really good staff of people. The Saints basically cleared out almost everybody except for Barone and Who else did they keep? They got rid of the, well, they didn't get rid of them. The running backs coach left to the Giants. Wide receiver coach Cody Burns got fired. They kept Clancy Barone, the tight end coach. They fired Marone. He should have been the first one, the offensive line coach. They fired him, but they did keep several assistants from different positions here. They got rid of Curry, you know, so they brought in their own guys, Janoco. So, man, at the end of the day, all I can say is he'll have an opportunity to build that offense because, you know, they want him to be successful. But, boy, oh, boy, it's going to be a lot of pressure on him to do that. Do I see Hunter Renfrow and this another Raider guy here along with the rest of the Raider guys that come through here? I don't. I don't know, fam. I hope not, man. Not no disrespect to Hunter Renfrow, but you know, we have a good young wide receiver core already. And I think with Mike Thomas moves out of the way, that'll probably open up a position for maybe they'll go after a veteran, maybe not a more high profile veteran, somebody that fits what they or they doing it. Perhaps they might address it in the draft. But I don't know about Hunter Renfrow, Randy. Who asked me that? I'm sorry, fam. I just had it on screen. There you go. Yeah, Randy. I'm sorry. All right, Brent says, sounding like George Bush. Well, he does. you fooled me once. You can't fool me again. Oh, man. But anyway, yeah, that's the whole thing, man, with the Clint Kubiak system. Yeah, we look in the Sean Payton offense actually was supposed to be designed to be a QB-friendly system. We've seen in history backup quarterbacks come in there and run the system to perfection. You know, they come in there because it's supposed to be designed to be QB-friendly. The Clint Kubiak style offense, it is a very – very lively offense. You see a lot of pre-snap motions going on, a lot of misdirect concepts to kind of confuse you, and then they'll attack you on an angle, you know, or, you know, they're really good at that kind of confusing the defense, making you think about what they're going to do. And it's a really cool offense to run. But like I said, a lot of pressure is going to be on Clint to perform because right now this is probably going to be Dennis Allen last year unless they get the team into the playoffs. Another 9-8 won't not going to work. They need to produce a playoff. In order for them to do that, Clint Kubiak has to get his staff, and they got to hit the ground running. So it's a lot of pressure on Clint Kubiak to take this job, let me tell you. Thank you, Brent. Appreciate that super chat, bro. All right, DGS says Clint Kubiak will hold car. I agree 1,000%. With this, that's what I said when they brought Clint Kubiak in here, is that I really do think Clint Kubiak will hold Carr accountable. I really do think that. I really do think that. And that was the problem last year. The accountability, they coddled Carr too much, allowed him to make excuses. And that was the problem. The issue with the offense wasn't entirely the quarterback. A lot of it was on him. A lot of it was on the offensive line. Kubiak will be tasked with fixing both. Let me tell you, it's not going to be an easy thing, too, for a first-time offensive coordinator. Now, he was a passing game coordinator, but the guy had never been an offensive coordinator before, and he will be tasked to take that because it's different. Like, if you got your own guy, like you, I got my own guy, I got a concept, I'll do this, that, and the third. Like, you'll have a guy who's the what's his name? Used to be with USC. He was with USC last year, and now he's with the Washington Commanders right now. I forgot the man. He used to be a coach for the Cardinals several years back. He's now the coordinator of the Commanders there. He was at USC. And now Clint Kingsbury, that's what I'm thinking about, Cliff Kingsbury. And he's up there. I forgot it. It's a Kingsbury, Cliff, whatever it is. Yeah, this guy's up here in Washington now. He comes from USC. And, of course, they're talking about him. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, DGS Kingsbury. You got him moving, and now it's rumblings about them potentially going to try to get Williams, or if they're giving the trade up to go and get him. And what I'm saying is because when you're an offensive coordinator, you have an idea of what quarterback you want to have to run your system. You see? And even though Carr has experience in a multitude of different systems, you would think that his adjustment period to bounce from one system would help him pick up things faster. it most certainly did not happen. You know, it didn't happen the way we anticipated it. Will it be a faster process for this new system? Whether it is or it isn't, I'm going to lean on the side that it's going to take some time for him to pick up a whole nother system. And until then, they're going to have to figure a way how to run the damn ball. So, Ava said he was, Okay, he had a little experience with Zimmer's. Okay. Was that a full year? Was that a full year he was over there, Avis? Throw that in there, man. All right. Okay, so with the Vikings later to go for the in 22-12. Okay, there you go. Okay, thank you, brother. Appreciate that. All right, so he has some experience. Okay, I stand corrected on that. I thought he didn't. All right, so anyway, Brent says the DA, yeah. Okay, thank you, Randy. Appreciate it. DA said even it looks unhealthy, his possum complexion. Yeah, is that it got a bright light over top his head. But that's what a weasel, man. You take a weasel and a skunk and you mix them with a human being, that's what it looks like. Anyway, let's finish up here.
Philosophically and scheme wise, and you touched on it there a little bit. I know I've been told back in the day, you know, the way Gary, when he ran it at its highest level, it's almost unguardable at sometimes if it's done the right way, the way this offense can be run. But specifically, Clint, coming from San Francisco and the way you've seen coaches depart out of San Francisco and have success, what is it that you learned maybe in that interview process with Clint about what that building is doing right to have guys prepared to make a jump like you're having Clint do?
Yeah, well, I just think it's really about, having a system that you believe in and then being able mm-hmm. to clearly identify the players that fit that system and then being able to acquire the talent that fits that. And I think they've done as good a job as any in San Francisco of being able to do that. I think they have a belief system of things that they really firmly believe in, and they don't vary from that. Obviously, the scheme has evolved as it's gone along. Mm-hmm. this goes back to, you know, Mike Shanahan coaching back at Denver, through, yep. you know, Coob going to Houston, and then carrying that scheme along, you know, when he went back to Baltimore and then he went to Minnesota. And you just see this scheme having a lot of success. There's probably a little bit more window dressing within the scheme now than maybe what there was, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. But I just think it's a system that's quarterback friendly. And I think it relies on being able to run the football and get your play action passing game going.
Yeah, I love hearing you talk about this because you're a defensive guy, right? You've had to scheme against this, so you know how much of a challenge it is. Schematic.
To be honest with you, that's the philosophy of most offensive systems is you got to get – it's a balanced attack in the NFL. This is commonsensical, right? We understand that at the highest levels of most offensive operating that, they have to operate what's called balance, which is running the football, throwing the football, running the football, throwing the football. Am I going to run it this time or am I going to throw the football? Once you get things going with both, then you operate play action where you can draw a little trickeration in there. You can be able to fool people and get that whole thing going. The New Orleans Saints last year weren't consistently doing that, you know, and that's the big point of why we had so much dysfunction through the entire season. And recognizing it and doing something about it, I think this year maybe the difference is the accountability thing that Clint would bring. I think it's a big job that he has here to be able to do it. Now the Saints do have talent. He has to be able to find the right guys to bring in here because, like I said, some of these guys we might have in here might not be the right guys for the type of system that he sees. You know, and of course they're going to look at some of the talent and see what they need, go around for agency or the draft and scout for the type of people that works for the type of system that they're trying to implement. That Kubiak style of offense here, that 49er style of offense here. So he has a pretty big job to do to get the Saints to consistently run the ball and find offensive line. And then on top of that, Carr. Now we're talking about the offensive line. That's a big part of it because without an offensive line, without having a good offensive line, that'll open up running lanes for your running game. It puts a lot of pressure on a used car. And it could be disastrous. But he has to, another thing is with his system, getting Carr to understand what needs to be done. And like I said, it will probably help him with any of these guys if they can get the running attack going consistently to take pressure off the quarterback. But then when the quarterback is tasked to throw the ball, he completes the assignments. He does what he's supposed to do. But like I said, Clint Kubiak's a serious dude. I do like his accountability because he really does believe in that. And previous interviews I played for the family members, he talked about having high stress. He called it high stress.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stress practices. And high stress practices are that, you know, they just got it amped up. Because he believed that if you practice in those type of environments where it's high stress, pressurized practices, that it'll give you a better game day experience in terms of what you'll see there, which makes the team more composed. So I'm bought in on both of those concepts. The only thing is, can he implement it once we get everybody here around the quarterback, the running? So we'll see if Carr can get to that. Now, not saying that he'll fall apart, because we've seen John Gruden make Carr accountable. That's why he got the most out of him those years when nobody else did, because he didn't coddle him and he cussed at him. He forced him to do stuff and he responded in kind to John Gruden. Will he do the same for Clint Kubiak? If he wants to win, he will. And then on top of that, that advisor role, we talked about all of the signings that the Saints added to the team. That top advisory, maybe that offensive assistant role, man, be looking out for that Carr train as soon as he clears that group of legal dealings that he has in July. So there's still one spot there left to be ran. All right. So anyway, let's finish up, man. Hold on. Chris says, what's up, Chris? Who that, Chris? We needed to get rid of those clowns. Yeah, it's got at least another year to see what happens, bro. I mean, that's what we forced to. Yeah, that's right. Acquire talent, right? All right, Slime says, draft Penix. You want to draft Penix? Fam, my people ask me about draft quarterbacks all the time, man. I really don't think the Saints are going to draft a quarterback. And I don't think they're going to take a quarter. Like, if you look at the quarterbacks that's out there, I don't think the Saints are going to take any high-ranking quarterback behind Carr, because they don't want to give Carr the feeling that he got a guy looking over his shoulder. And that's the part of the coddle the situation. No, you need to feel the pressure so you get on your game, so you start spanning the field so you don't feel comfortable. We don't need a guy that feels like the position is his. No, you need to earn that. I know they're paying you all this money, but they ain't paying you all this money to give up a 9-8 season with no playoffs. That don't work, man. I don't see how people can smile and people say the family base is giving Carr a hard time. No, Carr is giving the family base a hard time. I mean, people ain't going to just be, you know, upset for nothing, you know, unless they're crazy. And I know they not. They're upset because the guy not doing what he's supposed to do. That's what it comes down to. Ava says, my biggest is that Carr doesn't learn offenses as fast as he needs to learn them. It seems like it did take him most of the season, Avis. You're right. It took him up until the final month of the season to get Sean Payton's offense together, or Pete Carmichael's version of Sean Payton's offense together. It took him the last month of the season. That was way too long. People kept telling him, what's taking so long for you to learn the system? Well, I'm studying. And then you see him do all the stuff that he was doing out there. It was just a disaster, man. Jack says you either run to open the passing game or you – exactly. Payton's system was pass first unless Drew was injured. Then he ran the hell out of the ball. Exactly. And he had the measurement where you put up, 30-plus runs a game, usually translate into a Saints win. Remember that? And that was the thing about Sean Payton, over-relied on Drew Brees. He over-relied on Drew Brees. Like, Drew had mastery of Sean Payton's offense, total mastery of it. And he over-relied to him to a fault. Yeah, I got you, bro. I got your biggest fear. All right. Thank you, bro. All right. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of zone blocking schemes. We'll see if they can do it. Yeah, I know. I know, Chris. I know Chris says still pissed. I got you, brother. It's all right. We're a new season.
But you just said it. This is a quarterback friendly system. How do you think this is going to benefit Derek Carr?
The last system he ran was a QB friendly system. When are we going to stop making the excuses, man? Sean, there is no more clearer or a QB friendly system than what Sean Payton operated for the last 20 years. We've seen multiple quarterbacks have success in that system. We've seen Drew have success in it. We've seen Teddy Bridgewater have success in it. We've seen Jameis Winston, who was seen as a gunslinger, had some success in the system. We've seen a lot of quarterbacks thrive in Sean Payton's system. It was so popping that we had that for 20 years. I mean, we didn't change our system for 20-something years. Now, listen, it had iterations to it where we had switched this around and moved this around, and it adjusted and grew with time. But we had that for 20 years. So at some point, people got to stop making excuses, or this guy got to stop making excuses like the last system wasn't QB friendly. Come on, bro.
Well, look, I think Derek's going to do exceptionally well. I thought there was a point in time this past season where, we started incorporating a little bit more of the play action passing game. And I really felt like that's where our offense started to take off. I thought that's where Derek really kind of started to take off. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I've had communication with Derek throughout this process, and talked to him about some of the different candidates that, you know, we were bringing in. And his brother David had played for Gary in Houston, and that was David's last year in Houston. And I was kind of just a little bit concerned that, you know.
Oh, don't bring that shit up. He got tore up in Houston with that offensive line, man. They tore him up. He was one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. He got tore up every year, his brother, playing in Houston. So I wouldn't definitely bring that system up, but they finally implemented the play action in the back of the year. The play action, that was the same play action we was talking about during the season. Usually most systems operate using the play action. That's when you are in your bag with the play action and you're moving around, you got the opposing defense head on the swivel. You got them where you want them to go because you don't know what you can – they don't know what you're going to do. And that's the point. So he finally got the play action going at the end of the year. That's funny. So, I mean, we'll see, man. Let's keep it going.
Maybe that wouldn't go over that great. And David had some really good things to say, you know, about the offensive scheme and about how he, really appreciated the scheme and the things that they were doing and really enjoyed playing for Gary and felt like, look, if there's some similarities, which I think there's a ton between Gary and Clint, that it was going to be a great fit. And so I'm really kind of excited about that.
It's interesting you bring up Houston. I was a beat guy there when Gary was the head coach, and I remember those drafts, DA, of him kind of finding the guys that fit this scheme we're talking about throughout the draft. So I'm kind of curious, now that you make this switch on offense, what have the meetings been like, and does your draft philosophy maybe change a little bit in the style of player maybe you're looking at on the offensive line or some other spots with the way that, that Clint wants to run this?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a great point. Thank you, Jack. Says Carr got better toward the end of the because he says Carr got better toward the end. They went to the one, maybe two reads. You could tell Carr's pretending. They dumbed it down. It's what you're saying, right, Jack? They dumbed the offense down for Carr. I mean, the thing is, pretending to go through reads. That's mind-boggling to me that. And you're right. If you go and look at the tape, you can look, he'll stare here and then he'll go. And then sometime he would just stare down one side of the field. To me, I don't think a guy that does that is a guy that you want to pay that kind of money to, for real. I mean, because that's really flawed game. And that guy could be easily game planned against. And that would explain, and we've talked about this before, why he didn't have the postseason success. He'd been there one time and he lost. He did. For 10 years, he put up a lot of stats, and then it gets to the game time, the big time, and a lot of people talked about him not having a complete team there. But, you know, what the Saints gave him last year, I mean, this was probably one of the better complete units that he's had. We're talking about offense and defense. And we just, for whatever reason, they couldn't get it to going early on in the season when it mattered. I mean, we talking months past. months, several months until the team looked decent. That's the last month of the season. It was still not good enough to get the Rams win. You know, it just boggles my mind to know where it is. But I do have a little bit more positivity for the situation, because I know that the Kubiak coming in here, Clint Kubiak's coming here, gives them more accountability. I really think he's coming here with accountability, and he understands that he don't have time to dilly-dally with Carr, that he got a certain period of time that he got to get Carr together because the pressure's on. So I do buy into that.
No, I think that's a great question. You know, a few years back, defensively here, I remember back in 2015, kind of 2016, we weren't sure exactly what we wanted to be defensively. 3-4, 4-3, Seattle 3 defense, New England single high man. We kind of went through a little process, and it was really kind of in 16 where I kind of took over, and I think we clearly identified exactly what we wanted to do defensively, and exactly what we were looking for in each position. And so, therefore, we were able to go out and find those guys 2017 draft and on. And I think we became a lot better defense because of that, because we clearly identified what we were looking for. And I think that's the process that we're going through right now. We're in the process of having our February draft meetings with the scouts. With Jeff Ireland, Mickey Loomis, myself, we're in there talking through these guys. And we had a chance to get the offensive coaching staff in here over the weekend and really sit down with the, you know, with the scouts and with the people in the draft room and kind of go through, this is what we're looking for at the quarterback position. This is what we're looking for in a offensive tackle. This is what we're looking for at the receiver position. So, I think that's been great for our group, and I think we'll have to continue to have those discussions as we go throughout, you know, this draft process, and really not just the draft process, but free agency also.
I mean, I know that's invigorating. I mean, it's got to be like so cool now to have these types of discussions with a new staff and kind of hear new ideas and to really do this. So let's kind of flip it to the other side of the ball, DA. You know, that's where you've just had one of the best defenses in the NFL for just the longest time. I want to look at Cam Jordan, because last year seemed like just such an aberration. You know, he only had the 2 sacks. He wasn't putting up, you know, the typical Hall of Fame type of numbers we've seen him put up. Do you consider that just kind of a blip on the radar? You know, and what does he maybe need to do to get back to the Cam that we have seen for more than a decade?
Yeah, well, look, I think the thing that I would say about Cam, you know, probably where the dip occurred a little bit is just his ability to finish on the quarterback. I think he was still effective in kind of being able to get around the quarterback. He just didn't finish as well on the quarterback. And so I think that's one of the things that we've got to continue to look at and work at. I think he's still one of the better run players in our league at the defensive end position. But look, let's be honest. I mean, as we all get older, we start to slow down a little bit. I don't think he's at that point where I think he's still got some good football left. And I think it's up to us to try to find the positions and the places to put him in to allow him to still be successful, you know. And so, look, the other thing is he injured his ankle at some point in the season. I think it might have been the Minnesota week. And, look, he's such a tough competitor that he just battled through and fought through it. But I think it was probably, you know, 6 weeks before he started feeling more like himself.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Cam Jordan situation, too. A lot of people have been kind of on Cam. A lot of the family members be saying, Q, it's time to get away from Cam, this, that, and the third. I still think, and I've said it in this stream and others, that I think Cam Jordan can help you. He did have an ankle issue that slowed him down. You could see him in the game pursuing guys, and he just couldn't make it, chasing guys down. You could see the ankle was definitely bothering him. And a lot of people looking at the teetering production in terms of sacks from Cam, but the thing is, Cam's a Saints lifer. He's not going anywhere. He's going to retire as a black and gold guy. The Saints gave him the extension, and he's going to be here. And then, of course, we talk about replacing Cam. Well, the Saints, like I mentioned earlier in the stream, that the Saints drafted Peyton Turner as a potential placement. They drafted Isaiah Foskey as a potential replacement. So they got a first round and second round pick defensive lineman in the building currently. So one of those guys potentially could be a replacement for Cam. We don't know. You know, only time will tell which if these guys are the guy. We also realize the Saints did re-up and give Carl Granderson, who's the guy that's going to take us into the, you know, until the next several years of high play. They gave our guy, Carl Granderson, a contract extension that made him the starter, clearly. So, you know, we have some pluses here. We got that other side taken care of with Carl Granderson. He had a phenomenal season. And Cam, man, we know, you know, Cam Jordan is not as spry as he used to be, but he's still very a person that causes problems. Like they're showing the film there, him chasing down running backs, him trying to get to the quarterback. We just need to keep him healthy. And of course, make sure you have situational pass rusher role that where guys can get in there and kind of do their thing as well. But listen, if Carl Granderson keeps doing what he's doing, man, that can help Cam Jordan.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.